Blog Talk Radio. shalom, shalom. This is Yaina. How is everybody doing today? That's my song, y'all. We got to do that one more again. I'll be right back. Hold on. Just one more time. All right, y'all. All right. This is Jaina. Shalom, shalom, everybody. This is the first day of the week. Just want to share a little bit with you, do a little bit something different today. Glad to be here today. I hope you guys can hear me. Brother Donnie, if you can hear me, please push one. It is a good day. Everybody's alive, well, and moving. Shalom, shalom. All right, we got to know what's going on today. Let me see. What's happening today, Brother Donnie? What do you know good?
Sister Yaina, I just woke up, so I don't know anything.
Okay, well,
that's all about 9:30. See, I don't sleep often. I don't sleep during the day. I mean, during the night, man. I flip and flop, you understand, half the night, you understand, you know, more than often. And then I'm going to the bathroom, you know, so when I went to sleep, my son called me. I was sleeping real good till he called me.
Yeah.
And that happens often, too, you know. But
yeah,
I'm all right, Almighty is watching over me. I'm glad to be here amongst the living. You understand?
Amen.
And there's gonna come a time when the Almighty's gonna come get us out of this mess. That's all I'm sitting around. That's what I'm waiting on.
Yes, indeed. You, me, and the sycamore tree.
You went down real low, can't hear you.
Well, I said you, me, and the sycamore tree.
That is correct.
Everybody waiting to leave. Everybody is waiting to leave. I wonder how these people, how they feel when they know we waiting to leave.
Well, you know, like I think I said, man, they don't care. You understand? You know, only time that they gonna care is when they start to lose that power. Because as long as they in power, they don't care, because they know that we can't do nothing. But the Almighty, you understand, once he starts showing, way forth his outstretched arm on these folks, that's when they start to worry. So, that's what I think.
I'm telling you.
They don't give a rooty tooty about us, Sister Yaina. I'm telling you. You understand? You know, if they did, it would be showing up, it'd show up some kind of way. You understand? They haven't showed us nothing that they even think about care. You know, I hear all these people talking about, you know, the congressmen, you know, the black congressmen. They talk about, you understand, when we brought this proposal to the Republican Party, you understand, and they looked at it and they rejected it. You understand? You know, the thing with me is that, you know, how can you disrespect or disregard what is right? How do you think that you can win on the other side of right? How do you think that?
Because nobody's ever challenged them before. They've gotten away with it. So, you know, it's something that they're able to do. They're able to get away with it. Nobody's ever challenged them before.
But it's a simple thing. It's not nothing hard. You understand? When somebody, you know, they trying to tell you, here's what they saying. The Republican Party, you understand, which they haven't had a platform to run on since Ronald Reagan. And here's what they saying. They saying when we seen them guys run up into the Capitol building, that's not what we seen. We seen an orderly mob, orderly people. This is what they saying. We seen orderly people, you understand, doing what orderly people do, you understand, and the ones that got beat up and everything was the orderly people.
Wow. Are you serious?
This is what they are saying. What we see with our own eyes is not what we see.
Wow.
How can you run on a lie? How can you even consider that the lie is going to prevail? But I understand it, though. You understand? These are the latter days, man. And the truth is being, and the thing, and everything is coming out now. You understand? You know?
Mm.
And now they always, I think it's somewhere in the scripture it talks about, you understand, night is day and day is night, and the truth is a lie and a lie is the truth. I think somewhere it's written that way. You understand? Anyway, when Trump came in there and they did not question the first mile he said, oh, he's been running amok. You understand? Everything you say out of his mouth, you understand? And then they don't even ask you the check. You understand? They don't say, well, let's check the lie out, see what it is. Everybody can see that it's a lie. They didn't, you know, and I blame the media who do all this investigation, the interviews and all of that stuff. When they see he lied, they should have said, oh, where's the proof to that? Where's the proof? Where's the evidence to that? They didn't ever check him, and it's been going like that ever since. You know, they say they feel like if he got away with it, they can get away with the lie that they tell it.
yeah, pretty much.
It's truly a mess, sister, I'm telling you. But this is the hand of the Almighty. In order to bring down a country such as this, you understand? Here's a country that sprung up in 400 years. They had other countries that was in play thousands of years before America. Why did that happen? That happened because they were supposed to be the ones that punished us. All that 400 years is about. And why do I say that? I say that is because when the Almighty bring the wrath on this place, Israel prevails out of it all.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. Woo, it's so much. Lord,
ain't no other nation come out of this smelling like a rose but Israel. Israel. The house of Israel. The house of Jacob.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. No question about that. That's a lot.
So consequently, this place was set. And how do we know that? It's because the Almighty told Abraham, I'm going to bring a nation down on you from the north, from the ends of the earth. no people, a people void of understanding, that have no compassion or consideration, a people that your fathers didn't even know. And guess what? These people right here don't care nothing about nobody and nothing. I mean, they long as they in power, man, they all right. But as soon as the Almighty start bringing that wrath down on them, you understand? They know it's over. You understand? They're going to still be fighting to try to keep it alive, you understand? And the stuff that they're going to be doing is going to be horrendous. Only my...
That's a lot. I mean, that is really a lot. That's a lot.
Okay. Well, you give me your analysis. Let me hear what you got to say. Or
I agree with you. I agree. I'm just waiting. You know, my biggest thing is I'm waiting on Yah, and that's hard to do because we've already completed the 400 years. You know, we're watching some things happen. We're seeing some things happen with our eyes, whether it's the pandemic or whatever it is. We're watching some things happen, you know, and we believe him. But it's just that waiting part because we want to go right away. And, you know, that's where the frustration comes in for a lot of people is because they're saying, okay, like the lady said yesterday in class, okay, we've been through the 400 years and it seems like things have slowed down. But I think that the biggest thing that we have to understand is in order to move an amount of people that's going to move with this move, you've got to get people psychologically ready to make that move. Because you're talking about massive amount of people, even if it's 1 million people, that's a lot of people moving out of this country. And you know what? I think everybody's fed up. Everybody's tired of the promises. We have been promised everything from A to Z. And everybody's just fed up. They're tired of the promises. No more promises. We will continue to work and do what we need to do to sustain our lifestyle. We will continue to do whatever we need to do to support this economy, But in the word of Yah, it states clearly that he's going to deliver us from these lands that are not ours. And I think the hardest part is the waiting. It's just the hardest part.
Well, see, here's it. You got to be satisfied in your own skin. You got to be, when I say that, I mean that you got to understand that this is the Almighty's program. This is not ours. We were used as a tool. You understand? And we got to understand that this is the Almighty making this move. And all we got to do and all we supposed to do is sit back and wait. Now, if you're going to worry yourself to death if you're going to think about, well, we're tired of the promises. Man, you got to trust in the Almighty. That means that you don't trust in the Almighty. This is the Almighty doing this. This is our God. See, that's the thing. Most of us don't understand that we have a God. We have a God that cares for us. And we overlook it. We're overlooking what he said. He said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Yaakov. You understand? When the Almighty said that he was our God, you understand? Mm-hmm. It's a big difference. You understand? See, one thing that he made us from the dust of the ground,
Mm-hmm.
He formed us and fashioned us in his own way. You understand? And then blew the breath of life in us, come from him. Connection to the Elohim, you understand? So we have a spiritual connection. You understand what I'm saying? And so if we have this spiritual connection, we got to be able to trust in the Almighty. He's our Elohim, our Father. And there's nothing that we can do. You understand? Sit back and go to work, do what you're supposed to do, and when he calls us. Now, you know what's really ironic is that we know that he said he's coming to get us. So all we got to do is sit back and wait.
Do
what we have to do to eat, sleep, live, even laughter. You understand? Because, you understand? You know, we got to just sit back and wait. My kids, they don't get it. They think that they got to have fun every day. You understand?
Yeah.
They don't get it. And my daughter said, how come you had all this fun and now it's going to fall apart when it comes to me? You understand?
Right.
They don't get it. You understand? And it's sad. This is an Almighty thing. We don't have nothing that we can do to even help the Almighty or stop it.
And see, people think that we're going to Ghana. And, you know, I heard movie stars have been running over to Ghana, buying up land, trying to get the land that's on the water and all the waterfront properties and all that. That may not even be the way Yah is going to do this. We don't know how he's going to do this. But one thing we do know is that when we do leave, it won't be no more of that classism stuff. So let me be the first one to tell you. You might have had a good over here, but when we get ready to leave, all that stops. It's going to be about Israel. It's not going to be about whether you was a movie star or a basketball player or whether you was an entertainer. This is our turn now, and we're going to be the ones that's going to be platformed to be first. It's not going to be you. We're not going to watch you with the money and hope we can be like you. We're going to be the ones that's going to leave here with great wealth. So let's just put that out there, you know, because everybody thinks that it's going to be them, and they running trying to buy up all the – and that may not be the route we're taking.
Well, let me tell you this here. The reason why they chose Ghana is Ghana made said – that they willing to give up some land, you understand, or have land available. So everybody want to run out there. And you know what really gets me? Everybody talking about, you understand, well, we don't want the one that ain't got no money. We want the ones that got money. Why the Almighty going to tear this place all up? Because
let them go
money.
On. Let them go on with their money and go on over there. Because you will be over there outside of the protection of Yah, and go right on over there.
Yeah. Well, see, it's not about money. How are you going to leave? that most of the skills of everything come from the masses that don't have no money. Because we gotta invent stuff, you understand, in order for us to live. You understand? We always and the ones with money take advantage of that. You understand? But the thing is that, you understand, they going over there because it's been written in some history books and stuff like that said that we came from that region, the Ghana, the Gold Coast, the Ivory Coast, you understand, and in that region, you understand what I'm saying? And so, and they don't even know who the people is that came from that region either, because that was Judah that they brought out. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, they brought out from that region, you understand? You know, and all the Levites didn't come out of there. Some of them, you understand, they talk about they limbers and this and that. But all of this has to be proven down the road. It's not, you understand? We got to stop being so into ourselves. And that's because we've been indoctrinated, you understand? You know, and, you know, we just live, you understand? And I think that's why the Africans have a little disagreement with us, because we think that we privileged to them. You understand? So, you know, it's a big mess here. The only thing that we're going to have to bank on is to know that the Almighty, at some point, the Almighty coming to get us. The 400 years, actually, you understand, you made a valid point like yesterday, you understand, is that the Almighty is the one, you understand, that made that decree, that 400-year decree. I mean, 400-year decree, you understand? And the 400 years means something to him. It don't mean nothing to nobody else. He lifted the punishment in his eyes, you understand? But them guys don't know nothing about no punishment being over. You understand? They're killing what. Now it has slowed down. Some people might say, you understand what I'm saying? But I think that, and I think it was Brother Williams. I think he had said that Jacob's troubles is over, and I say that it never was over. You understand? It may have slowed down, huh? Hello?
I said, no, it ain't over.
Yeah, I think it has slowed down from in comparison to what they used. They chained, whipped, beaten, and maimed, and murdered us. You understand what I'm saying? It's not as prevalent as it was when we first got here. I think that was the beginning of Jacob's trouble. Remember now, when we read the scriptures, it's out of, it's out of sync. It's not everything that's not written. Everything happening right behind one another. It's not written that way. It gives you certain things that had happened in our history. That's just my opinion now, you know. But we're going to have to see. We're going to have to pray that this stuff play out, man, and be thankful that we on the list.
All praises to the Most High, Yah. I just feel like, you know, we have to. Well, let me play this clip for you real quick, and then I'm going to let you tell me what you think about it, and then I'll come back to the caller. I see you, caller. I'm coming to you. Just give me a second real quick. Hold on. I'm going to get it up here. Of course, they have to have a commercial. Okay, here we go. There we go.
Hey, family. This is your man, not your boy. Gold Black to Africa. Hey, I got a video I want to give to you all, brother and sister who's over in Ghana, in Accra, who's been here a few weeks now and are dissatisfied and are talking about wanting to come back home to America, reaching some challenges, and they are giving it raw and truthful on their perspective and their experience. Now, I want to always try to show the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to people venturing over to Africa. That's my thing here. I want everybody to go experience Africa for themselves. Many a countries, 54 countries in Africa, and everybody should have a right to get a taste of each. Now, every country don't represent all of Africa, and every city doesn't represent each country. But I want to let y'all hear that the complaints and the pains that this couple has gone through, they share their experience so that you are aware. That's what this channel is about, an awareness of Africa and those YouTubers who are giving you information that I am trying to make sure that you do your homework and you don't just take one or two people's word and take a travel and be disappointed. With that, let me pass it on over to this couple.
Good morning, YouTube. I tried so hard to stay here in Africa, but I really think my time is up now. I've had enough. I cannot afford to live here. I feel broke and I feel poor in Africa. I feel like I'm going to be out there selling some shit soon because this ain't making no sense to me. I pay $130 a day to drive around in a truck. I pay $100 a day to live in a two-bedroom and the six of us with no hot water, no stove, no refrigerator. The refrigerator broke. Then, on top of that, I got lizards crawling in the bed with me. I live in America in a mansion, and we don't have to put no water on the stove. We got steady hot water, steady electricity, and the only time our electricity gets cut off is when we don't pay the bill. And we got it so good now, we got prepaid electricity, so if we forget to pay the bill, we put some money on that prepaid thing, and it comes right back on in 2 minutes, in less than 2 minutes. This shit right here didn't come on for 14 hours yesterday. I can't deal. I love the people. Don't get me wrong. When I'm outside, I'm having fun. I love people. But when I come back to reality, when you come back home, home is where the heart is, right? When you come back home, you're supposed to feel comfortable. You're supposed to be happy. I'm not happy. Every house I look for, the house is expensive as hell. Oh, my God. 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, $1 million to live in a house where you look outside and all you see is turkeys and ducks and chickens and sheep and malnourished cows. I didn't even pay that much for my house in America. And everybody I talk to is saying the same thing. Oh, this house is $500,000. Oh, this house is $200,000. This house is $300,000. I'm like, I can't afford to live here. I cannot. I paid $100,000 for my house and a good-ass community. But, y'all, I'd rather go back to America and deal with the racism in America before I sit here in Africa and deal with the bullshit bribery, the bullshit fraud, the bullshit scam, the bullshit too expensive, the bullshit not having no snack, the bullshit not having no food, the bullshit electricity, the bullshit hot water, the bullshit, what's that shit called that be coming down? The bullshit animals and scorpions outside the house. It's big-ass spiders. It's big-ass lizards. Colorful lizards you ain't never seen before. All in the fucking room with you, sleeping with you. All the bullshit people trying to scam you when you go outside thinking you rich. So they trying to get more money off of you. I'm really trying to wrap my head around this shit. I'm really trying to wrap my head around how are Americans coming to Africa and being happy. Please comment down below. Because for me, I'm ready to go. And I always used to say, if it's up to me, it will be. And I'm going to go out to Africa and make shit happen. No, I don't want to. I want to take my businesses back to America. I want to open up shop back in America, open up my dentist office, and all the stuff that I was going to do out here in America.
Because I was basically telling everybody what they will experience when they come to the motherland. So for the people who need to study or research, or for the people who looking to find some people abroad that they need to ask questions and talk to about what they need to do when they get here, we basically telling them, and we keeping it raw and unfiltered, uncut. So you have everybody talking about, oh, the motherland is beautiful. It is a beautiful place. But you got to know reality when you get here. Reality has to set in. So I'm basically telling them, look, when you come here, don't think it's going to be a parade for you, because it's not. Don't think that it's going to be snacks and it's going to be the same thing in America, because it's not. That electricity that you used to be on all day, it's not going to be like none of that. I already knew that the electricity gets cut off all the time. I see the Bag family. I see our Kathy. I see all of them experiencing electrical outages. I already have set forth and looked up some places where when I get here, I can buy solar panels for my house, because I knew the electricity wasn't going to be good. I already knew all this stuff. I was just telling people because it's people out there that don't know. And so you need to know. So I'm telling you, get ready, because it's going to get rough. It's not easy. I knew that Accra was the most expensive place, and I knew it was the most developed as well. I wanted to be in a developed place. But at the end of the day, don't shit me. I always used to say, get me, don't shit me. Don't have me come all the way out here, and because you see I'm American, which you don't even know that I'm a Ghanaian too, but okay, I'm going to give you that I'm American because of my accent. So don't have me come all the way to Africa and say a house is $400,000, but you tell me it's $700,000 because you feel as though I'm rich. Everybody I've ever talked to looked at me like I was dollar sign. As soon as they see me, it's money, money, money. I can tell you 15 stories right now since we've been in Africa where people try to overcharge us and overprice us, and I'm on their ass. So for the people who say, oh, she's over there getting scammed, I didn't get scammed. Now, one time I told y'all the experiences how they tried to scam me. They tried to scam me, and I was in deep in their ass. And so for the people who say, oh, Africa's not weak, it's not for weak people, let me tell you something. All Africans are weak. I got a fucking African father who's weak as fuck. I know all Africans are weak. They aren't built like us. In America. So I'm all in their ass when they try to take their weak asses and try to use me or try to bribe me or try to get extra money out of me. You got to wake up pretty early in the morning to pull one on me, because I already see the shit coming. Then the other thing, people say, oh, she didn't do no research and she hasn't built a network. All I do is build networks. I'm on all the groups. That's on Facebook, that's on WhatsApp, all that. I've been there, done that, years, all that. I don't trust people. Because, first of all, everybody has an agenda. They can act like they're going to be good for you. They're going to show you and teach you the ropes and show you the way. People will come out here from the diaspora and say, oh, I'm going to buy me a house, and then I'm going to rent it out to all the people that come from the diaspora so they can have somewhere to stay when they get here. I didn't come here to rent. So let's clear that up, too, because that was another situation that I came to rent. I didn't come to rent. I don't rent at home, so why would I rent here in Africa? But I want to live better in Africa than I do at home, of course. So, of course, I came out here to buy beach land, to build a house, and while I'm building the house, buy another house to live in while I build my house, because I'd be damned if I'm going to be sitting in somebody's living room. If I'm going to have five kids. We have five children, but we only have four of us, four children with us. And there's two of us, so it's six of us all right now. And my oldest son, when he come out the military, he will be here too. I'll be damned if we're going to be laying on somebody's couch from the diaspora talking about some, oh, I'm going to give you somewhere to stay until you find your room. No. And I did not rent a room for $100. I rent an Airbnb for $100 a night. Airbnbs, if you want a nice one, it's going for $100 a night. The Airbnb was nice, but at the same time, it had its issues, and I was just sharing the issues that it had. Then secondly, as far as me renting a car or whatever, how else am I getting around? Every little car is that small. It's little bugs. All of us, six of us, cannot get in little bugs and ride around. So I had to rent a big SUV that can go through these muddy streets, because the streets, as you know, aren't paved, so we have to have a four-wheel drive that can get through the street. So me renting a vehicle was $130 a day. I knew that was going to be the case anyway. If you go research, too, you'll find out that that's the average of a vehicle. So I didn't get gas from nowhere. I just don't like the prices. And you can't. And I know I can't compare Africa to America, but what I can say is I'll be damned if I'm gonna buy a three-bedroom house for $500,000. I got a fucking six-bedroom mansion sitting at home for $100,000. It just don't add up, and it's not equivalent to what I'm willing to pay for. Everybody got what they're willing to pay for. I'll be a damn fool to come out here and get a house in Africa when I'm looking outside in the dirty slums and seeing goats and dogs and shit running around for $500,000. for a 3 or 4 bedroom house. That makes no sense. But don't look at me that I'm wrong for feeling like that. Because everybody got their way of living. We came from the gutter. We both was next door neighbors, grew up on the same block. We came from the gutter, and we managed to pull ourselves up and look at everybody else still sitting there. So we're not going to go to Africa and be fucked up and be gutted too. I ain't asked nobody for nothing. I ain't asked for no handout. I didn't ask for no parade. I was just sharing my experience. My experience is that Africa needs help. It needs work. We came out here to build Africa. I closed all my businesses down. And of course, I could have stayed in that colonized ass snake, United Snakes of America, and dealt with their bullshit and kept getting my money. I could have did that. I do taxes. I don't pay taxes. I do them. Okay? So I could have stepped in. I could have dealt with that. But no, I decided, no, I'm going to close all shops. I'm going to come out here. I'm going to get me a bus. And I'm going to do free teeth cleaning and spa for the people in the village. Then I'm going to treat these young girls. I'm going to get their tampons, their baby items, and wipes. And I'm going to do a nonprofit program. Business is my forte. That's what I do. So I didn't come out here for a job. I didn't come out here to rent. I didn't come out here to live on nobody's couch. I didn't come out here to live with no dinosaurs or none of that bullshit. If you want to help me, help me. But I'm not asking you to. I'm not begging. And then with the people who did offer to help us, we do know a lot of people in Ghana. I've been knowing people in Ghana. All my life I knew people here. I've been knew people Ghana, Nigeria, all over. Gambia, Tanzania, I know people all over.
All right, child, let's stop it for a minute. What you think about all that? Don't sound too good to me. Yes.
I'm coming right now. I'm going to give you my assessment. Expectations. You understand? People got the wrong expectations. You understand? They think they're supposed to come over there and it's supposed to be a trail of roses. They didn't do their research when they went there. And what I hear from her is privilege. You understand? She had all of these things, and she's supposed to be expecting certain things because she was already straight and this, that, and the other. But we got to understand, when the Almighty brings us back from the four corners of the earth, it's not going to be no bed of roses. It's not. You understand? And that's why the Almighty said you don't have to bring nothing with you because everybody's going to be on the same level. And then here's another thing. That's Ham. We Israel. There's a difference. Yes. They're going to Africa to set up houses, you understand, in Ham, be moving down the holy highway towards our homeland. You understand?
That's
Ham. We got to understand that. And them guys going to take advantage of the snowball, the snowman. You understand? They're doing all of that stuff. That's who they are. You understand? Those guys are not Hebrew Israelites. And when we go back, man, we supposed to be able to teach the world how to live. Them guys is not going to, you know what I'm saying? I think there's a lot of privilege there. That's what I heard that young woman say, man, she came with it. She expected this and expected that. You understand? Of course, she had some money. Money is not going to be the issue anymore. I'm going to tell you that right now. Hallelujah. I hope you heard what I was saying. Yain, are you there? Oh, you got cut off? Yeah, man, don't expect that stuff, man. I'm telling you, man, it's not going to be no bed of roses. You understand? And this is showing us right now. That woman ready to come back and be accept the white supremacist stuff. She ready to get out of there. And it's worse than to her. It's under the thumb of the, your penis. Sister Yaina, where you at? You're on hold. I mean, you're on mute. Problem is. Problem is.
We see. We not saying that.
All right, y'all. I'm sorry they disconnected us, but I'm back. I just wanted to let you know I was back. I ain't gone nowhere. All praises be to the Most High. Let me open up the mic. Area code 228. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I pressed the one and see if you would answer me because I was wondering. It's like Brother Donia. Where were you?
Yeah, I thought the video was playing. But it wasn't, so I'm back. I'm here now. I had to get everything back coming on again. What's your comment?
Oh. That's I didn't have a comment, but yes, I could. Yeah, I know she's glad to be back at home. I don't know how old the footage is, but I know she's glad to be back if she is.
Well, the footage, they just put this up October the 13th of 2020. So, you know, and the thing about it, and that's what I tell everybody, you know, you the Most High put us in certain places for a reason. When we went through that diaspora and we went through the transatlantic slave trade, we were dropped off in certain lands for a reason. So for you to change and switch where he puts you, that's going to be detrimental anytime you try to do that because that's a land that you're not familiar with.
Yeah, true that.
You know, and you went into a place that you're not familiar with, trying to familiarize yourself, and like he said, it's gonna be a culture shock, you know. And of course, they gonna double the price on everything. That's why I'm not going nowhere until the Most High say so.
That's right.
They see you coming. You know, what's the difference? If you're gonna be broke over here, you're gonna be broke over there. You might as well stay over here.
It makes sense.
I mean, for real. You know. No, I won't be doing it. No, honey, I don't want no part of it. I don't want no part of that. That does not sound appealing to me at all. Because I know when the Most High bring us to wherever he going to bring us, we going to know exactly what it is, and he's going to make a way for us. So, no, that's not my cup of tea at all. Hold on. Let me get Brother Donia back. Brother Donia, your mic is open. I'm sorry. You got disconnected, and I did, too. Let me play one more real quick. Check this out.
And I definitely want to hear your feedback, so make sure that you leave comments. Make sure you like and you share and subscribe this video as well. And without wasting much time, we're going to jump right in. Can't really go and do all the comments I got on my Donna is Hard video. A lot of you were suggesting that I get more specific on certain things to know about before moving to Donna. And I discussed with some families and friends, and they totally agreed. You know, I just I don't want to sound too harsh, you know, I don't want to sugarcoat anything either, but I think it's, you know, it's due time, so I'm going to get as specific as possible. And these, once again, are my experiences, and these are things I feel like you should know definitely before moving down to Ghana. So, yes, let's jump right into it. So, first thing you guys need to know is about the bribery system that goes on in Ghana. Guys, this is a topic that we cannot look past. Bribery, yes, is everywhere, but in Africa and in Ghana, it's very vivid. It's flat out right there, guys. And if you're not comfortable with it, that's something you should really get to know practically around that. It's going to be there, and it's like you can't look past it. Like, trust me, guys, I'm not comfortable at all with the whole, you know, bribery system in Ghana. Like, I shouldn't have to bribe a cop, even if I have my right, you know, documents or whatever. And it's, you just can't pass it. It's just like it's there. Like, you see the police on the road, for example, and, like, they stop you. You show them all your particulars, and it's like they're still looking at you like, hey, you gonna give me some money? And it's like, why do I have to give you, you know, extra money? Aren't you getting paid already? But, I mean, the system sucks, and it's like they say don't do it, but you still see it happening. You see, like, the Chocho drivers constantly paying, you know, police officers off, you know, to let them go when they know they don't have a license, when they know that they're, you know, they're making the wrong turn or whatever the case may be. But it's happening, and it's like, when is it going to stop? I don't think so. It's quite unfortunate that a lot of systems there do not work and are really not in place, and that's what, you know, makes such things as bribery, you know, continue going on. And even, you know, people are bribing you to just get certain things, you know, done faster for you. You know, we're going to get into more, like, official documents and stuff as well. And, you know, that sector also, too, there's, like, bribery. It's, like, it's everywhere. It's, like, you just can't stop it. So, I mean, if that's something that's really an issue for you, you should definitely know this before going, because you will experience it one way or the other. Yes. So, let's jump right into the next one. The next one is entertainment and food. Why I thought about this was my own experiences when I was there. I realized that, you know, the entertainment sector was very limited. I mean, people come to Ghana and have a blast during the holiday time. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's going to have clubs and bars and stuff like that. But then when you sit back and think about it, that's literally the only thing there. There's a lot of, like, outside bars, outside restaurants and things, and it's not much. And then you have, like, movie theaters. But, I mean, if you compare it to here in America, you know, you have different options of, you know, going bowling, going skating, trampoline, like, hiking. So many different things that you can get yourself involved in, and I feel like back home, it's really limited when it comes down to things like that. So you might get bored really quick, and, you know, if you're really, like, an adventurous type of person like me, I was in the house going crazy, and I'm always thinking about, what can I get myself involved in? What's the next thing I can do? So that's something that, you know, if you need to definitely look into. I don't know if you would want to bring, like, some board games or something along with your travel, but, you know, it's definitely something that you should definitely take into consideration. Food also, for example, I feel like if you're not really adventurous in food, you're going to realize you're going to be limited on a lot of things because, you know, most of the street food are local food. You can go to restaurants and get, you know, foreign food. There are a lot of foreign restaurants being open, like, a lot these days. You can find Turkish, you can find Chinese food, Lebanese, you can find all types of food. But, you know, if you're on a budget, those foods can get really pricey. And then location, you know, where most of these restaurants are at are probably, you know, a bit far from you. And if you're thinking about, like, budgeting and saving money, you may not want to, you know, be eating at the restaurant all the time. So then you depend on the food that's in within your area. And within your area could be a very limited amount. Like, I was living at, for example, you know, there were certain times you would get certain food, and I realized during the afternoon, there was very limited amount of food that you could buy. So most people over there tend to eat pretty heavy in the morning and in the night. So that's where if you go out, you see a lot of food vendors out in the morning, and then around, like, 6, 7 going, that's when you see a whole another set of them coming out. So during the day, you're kind of limited, so you probably find yourself, like, cooking at home or probably having to take an Uber or drive out to, you know, a restaurant to go get some food because you may not get within your area. So that's also something you should definitely consider as well. All right, so the next thing I think you should take into consideration is the health system. It's something that you should definitely research before moving down there. health system in Ghana is very, very, very difficult. I have to tell you guys. I'm being real with you. Like, it's not like, you know, living abroad and you can get really good health insurance and they can cover, you know, half of your payment or more than half, and then you just, you know, pay the rest out of pocket. Over there, it's like you're going into the hospital and you are the clinic and you are paying everything from, you know, visiting to the medication. You're paying for everything. And even the, you know, the health insurance down there, they're so expensive and the average person can't even afford it. So most people don't even end up going to the hospital and the clinic. They tend to, like, treat themselves at home with herbal medicines and self-medications. And it's not good, but, you know, that's how the system is there. And some of them is, like, it's not even because the money, they can't afford it, but just even the experiences that you go through when you even at the hospital would turn you off and, like, you don't even want to go to the hospital. I'm going to give you an example. Like, one of my friends came down and she had passed out, and we realized, like, it was, like, beyond our control. It wasn't those, like, okay, wake up, drink some water, you're going to be okay. Like, we have to actually send her to the hospital. So my friends and I sent her to the hospital, and I'm thinking I'm going to walk in, and she's going to get immediate care. Like, I knew we had to pay out of pocket, but if I'm paying all that money, I feel like I should be seen right away. Guys, let me tell you, that is not what it happened at all. We literally walked into the hospital. She could barely walk, so we, like, carried her, and then they gave us a wheelchair. Whoop-de-doo, they gave us a wheelchair. We put her, and we thinking, like, oh, she's immediately going to see a nurse or a doctor. The nurse comes up to me and is like, here you go, take this form. You need to fill all this information out, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, okay, but she's in serious pain. Can she see somebody right now? Can you guys find out what's wrong with her so you can start giving her medication or whatever to calm the pain that she's going through or to wake her up or whatever the case may be? They're still like, no, you have to finish filling this out. You have to pay administration fee before you have to wait. Then you're going to see the doctor. From the doctor, then they will give her a room. And then from the room, whatever she needs, we got to pay for every single little thing that she's going to get, down to her IV, down to whatever shot they're going to give to her, if she's going to take a test. Like, that is how the system is down there, guys. And it was beyond me. I was baffled. Like, I was like, what? So if this person is literally dying on the floor, they would not see you until you pay. And I'm like, what kind of system is that? So for me, I mean, I don't go to the hospital much, you know, I don't see the doctor much, but I'm just, it's always, you know, was in the back of my mind when I was home, I was like, if something happens to me right now and I need to go to the hospital, would I even want to go to the hospital, or should I just stay at home and figure out how I can help myself? Because I don't even think I will receive immediate care when I get there. And imagine if I don't have money on me, or whoever's with me doesn't have money on them, then you have to worry about how you're going to get money and how you're going to pay. It's a whole lot, guys. So that's something I feel like you should definitely look into for sure and know if that's going to be an issue for you, especially if you have health issues, you know, health conditions before moving down there. Definitely do your research and find out if, you know, there's certain facilities there that, you know, are going to be there to help you in immediate help, especially because the system that is, you know, here in the U.S. and I'm pretty sure in Europe and stuff is not the same in Africa, nor, like, specifically Ghana. So next one is official documentation. This particular topic drives me crazy, guys, because anytime I go down there and I stay beyond my stay, I have to always go to the immigration office to get an extension or pay for a resident permit or whatever the case may be. And going into the office is just, you feel like you get no help. You just got to figure everything out on your own. Or it's,
okay, you guys, what do you think about that? Don't sound too appealing.
Sister Yaina.
Yes, sir.
When the Almighty calls us back home, it's not going to be no bed of roses.
Yeah, but it ain't
going
to be like that. He ain't going to lead us to nothing like that, though.
Say that again?
I said it ain't
going to
be nothing like that.
It's not going to be no bed of roses, Sister Yaina, man. We're going to have to walk down the holy highway. We're not going to have nothing. We're going to be eating food from the trees. You understand what I'm saying? And drinking water from the streams. You understand? All of this stuff going to be towed up. That's what's going to happen. You understand? And one other thing here, too, is that that's ham. Don't expect no handout from ham. They trying to, look here, Africa was persecuted also. in the Hamite territory, you understand, or amongst Ham, you understand, and they already set up. They know what to expect. They think, you understand, they think that you're acting like you're privileged. You understand, that's not it, man. I'm telling you, man, you got to wait on the Almighty. Just like he gave you, you know, the inspiration to become a Hebrew Israelite, he will so inspire us to do what we have to do to get out of here. And he's going to pave the way. You understand? That's Ham, man. That's not, you know, you understand? Well, see, you go in there, you understand, you got this few little papers, you understand, you know, and you think that you're going to have to live, and the expectations is high when you leave here. Oh, I'm going to do this. You understand what I'm? I expect this. Come on, man. That's not gonna work. And that's Ham. Hallelujah. Bam, we got cut off again.
Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High, y'all. Hold on. Area code 337. Your mic is open. You on the air?
Yeah. I had two things though. You can look at it. Those two people you just played. You can look at that in the same aspect as the 12 spies. The king came back with a bad report. Israel had ended up wandering 40 years in the desert. And then I was going to say about Ghana. It's in prophecy. It's in Jeremiah 29 and 14. It says, I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, said the Lord, and I will bring you again unto the place where I have caused you to be carried away. That's Ghana. And the other verse, is Zephaniah, verse 9, 3 and 9 says, for thee will I turn to the people of pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, serve him with one consent, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, same place, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplement, even the daughter of my dispersed shall bring mine off. So from Ghana, West Coast, go back to our home. But we're going to be returning back to where we came from, where we've taken the captivity.
Yeah, but we're not going to be held there to stay there to live, because we were held in Elamina Castle. We were held as slaves. We weren't living and doing natural things. We were held there and dispersed from there. So it doesn't mean we're going to live there. I mean, I just want, for me, I feel like this. Wait on y'all. Because when y'all does it, we're not going to have to worry about no health care. When he does it, we're not going to have to worry about no documentation or no papers. When he does it, we're not going to be in a situation where people are taking advantage of us. When he does it, it's going to be done right. So I know what we're saying is everybody's running there now trying to get a head start, and that may not be where we're going to be at. We may have to go through there, but we were dispersed from there. They sold us from there.
That's correct, Sister Yaina. We're not going to be able to live. We're not supposed to be going there to live. You know, those people that you're talking about, they're not versed in the scripture. They don't know nothing about the scripture. They just leave. They leave. Remember what we said? I think we said this. There's going to be a lot of people that's just going to come with us out of here because of all of these the problems of America. You understand? Not necessarily knowing what they're going to do or how they're going to make it. They're just going to come out of there because of the destruction or because of, whatever, you understand, but they're not Hebrew Israelites. They're not versed in the understanding. And so these are the same people that are going to Ghana right now. But unfortunately, I got two guys that I know that's in Ghana right now. Seth Garcia, a fine brother, and Yehoshua Williams. You understand? He used to call in our program, you understand, a long time ago. He seems to like it. You understand? He's acclimated himself to that particular to that land. You understand? Matter of fact, he took a DNA test and he's now African. He ain't no more. But the point is, you understand? These people are not understanding anything about no scriptures. They're not. You understand? They don't have anything. You know, they don't. They not. They waiting because they going out of here, man. Because they sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of this society. You understand? Not because of the Almighty called them out of there. We got to wait on the Almighty. The same way He called us to be Hebrew Israelites will be the same way that the Almighty is going to give us knowledge to get out of here. And He's going to forgive. And He's going to make a way for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hold on. Let me play one more. Here we go.
This was who moved to Ghana, and they were having some issues in Ghana. Being that I've been to Ghana, actually I've been to a number of African nations, Tanzania, Gambia, Senegal, Nigeria, Sierra Leone twice. Where else? Been a lot of places all over there and all through the Caribbean. So I know what it's like to live in another nation, and I know what it's like to experience some of the issues they had, but I didn't really experience it to the extent they did. One of the first things, and I understand they keep saying throughout the video that they prepared, but I don't see it. I don't see where you prepared, because if you were prepared, then you would have already had a place to stay before you even came down here. I'm currently living in the United States. I'm planning to move to Jamaica in a few years. I already have a house in Jamaica because I'm prepared. If you're prepared, you would already have a place to stay. You would already secure housing and everything. And that brings me to my point of, in my videos, I try to tell people, you need to go to whatever nation that you're going to go to at least 10 times. You need to go at least 10 times, period. Because you need to be able to have links. Links are friendships, family, relationships. Those are very crucial in African nations. America is different. You can go to America, get a place to stay. You don't need any help. You can do it all by yourself. In black nations, you need links, all right? And a lot of these links that people have are developed all the way from primary school or elementary. They'll be friends from then. So you'll know somebody that knows how to fix a house. You'll know somebody that knows how to plumb. You'll know somebody that is a realtor that can get property. And if you don't know somebody that can do it directly, you'll know somebody that knows somebody that's going to hook you up. Also, when you're trying to find property and stuff, one big help is, like I said, the links. But actually knowing what the price is before you even show up. You know, a person can't charge you $400 for something that the paper that they got in the paper of $250. Now, why is it $400 when I get here? You know what I'm saying? So that won't happen if you already know. When you're shooting out in the dark like they did, yeah, you're going to end up paying $100 a night at an Airbnb because you were ill-prepared. You were not prepared at all. Another thing that they were talking about, cows and dogs and animals walking across the street, that doesn't mean that the place is beneath you, ghetto or whatever that you're thinking. There's people in that nation that they're not having a problem in the nation, and they probably got more money than you have and probably ever will have. You have to understand that when you live in a free place, they're going to have free roaming animals that they allow to roam to get a very balanced diet instead of the feed and you eating an animal full of steroids and you never see what they fed that animal. This animal is walking around. The dirt roads. I've never really had any issues with dirt roads, and that's even with front-wheel drive cars and only single rear-wheel drive trucks. You know, people that need 4x4 obviously can't drive, or you do happen to live in a place that happen to have hills, and when it rains, you know, that is the only time I can see you really need a 4x4 vehicle. The majority of cars on the road in Ghana are not 4x4. I didn't see a lot of 4x4 cars. I did see some older trucks that can possibly have the 4x4 capability, but most of the ones I saw were just small cars that was on the road. She was talking about snacks and stuff. She said snacks like 3 times in the video. Ghanaians don't eat a bunch of snacks. They eat fruits. All right? They eat mangoes, stuff like that. All right? They're going to eat a lot of fruits. When I was there, that's what all we ate was fruits. I think the mistake that they made was they moved to Ghana trying to live like Americans. Mm-hmm. They believed that because they came from America, they had money saved or sold a house or whatever, they got their money. Business or whatever, that they were better than everybody, that they got a lot of money, that they can do anything. And that's not how it works, right? The money don't mean anything. Your links and how attached you are to the country will dictate how far you can actually go.
Now, let me say this. That is good information for a person that's wanting to leave the country to go live just because they want to. But as far as Jah is concerned, and the reason why I played that is because we have to understand that we have to wait on him. You cannot get panicked. You cannot change your location and where you are just because of what you see. You have to wait on Jah. And that doesn't sound all that appealing to me to be able to go over there and have to experience all that. Jah said we was going to leave here with great substance. I don't believe he's given us great substance to go over there and go through any of those experiences. If we have to go through that at all, then we will just be going through that place on our way to the land of Canaan. To me, it sounds like they're preparing for us to come. They've marked everything up so that we will end up paying them. And no thank you. No thank you. I'm not going to go. I'm not changing my location to go live like that. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to wait on the Most High because that's the best thing that we can possibly do in this situation is wait on him. Now, I know a lot of people talking about, the Most High told me to go. If you feel like he told you to go, by all means, have at it. But know when you go over there, your lifestyle is not going to be the same as this one. And I know a lot of people that have gone and came back.
Yeah, well, Sister Yaya, didn't I tell you that they think that they privileged? Ain't that what that brother said along with the end of that program? That you think you're better than somebody, you understand, and they got a few little dollars, you understand? You know, see, that's, you know what that is? That's lack of knowledge, lack of understanding.
Yeah.
You understand? Because they have no knowledge of what the scripture said and what the Almighty said in the scriptures, that he was going to bring us back. And we only going through Ghana to get to the Holy Highway. To get to the Valley of Decision, that's where we going to, and I don't know, you know, I understand what he said, you know, I hear what the Almighty said when he said that we're gonna leave here with great substance. I don't know what the great substance is. It is definitely not gonna be dollars. You understand? You know, because the dollars ain't gonna be worth a damn. You understand? It's not worth a damn now. You understand? But the great substance, I don't know what that is, but we know that on our way down the holy highway, we can eat off the trees, and he's gonna heal us. You understand? And because we're gonna be drinking of that water, that healing water. You understand? And that's gonna heal a whole lot of our ailments and et cetera. You understand? So, but these guys that's even here, they have no knowledge of what the Almighty has to say about that. You understand what I'm saying? We're only going through Ghana. You understand? Even and like I said, the people that they bought from the Mona, you understand? They're gonna have to wait, some of those people gonna be part of us going through Ghana down the Holy Highway. Hallelujah.
That's crazy. So, you know, that's our biggest issue is the wait on Jah. You know, don't get so frustrated with this thing because it's taking time. It takes time and planning to move a multitude of people from one location to the next. It takes time and preparation to relocate a multitude of people from one location to the next. Because like you said, those are the children of Ham. They're not like us. You know, and everybody's waiting to get paid from us and the calamities that we've gone through here. You know, and it's like, no, thank you. We are waiting on the Most High to move us in the direction that we're supposed to go in, and we have to wait on him, period. You know,
one other thing I want to say, Sister Yaya, we got to understand who said that we could come to Ghana and he's going to open up the land. Was that the governor?
Whoever it was, I don't remember. Yeah,
King, you understand? He's saying that from his perspective, but the people ain't saying that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for all black nation. I'm all for that, but we are a wealthy people. We are a wealthy people. We've always been a very wealthy people, and the condition that we're in is as a result of our disobedience. I don't believe the Most High going to take us back to no dirt roads with no lizards crawling in the bed. I'm so sorry. I just don't believe that. I believe that whatever he has prepared for us, and we're going to be safe wherever we are. We ain't going to have to worry about that. Those are people who have chosen to do this on their own, and they're sharing experiences with you. But I really don't believe that we're going to have to do that, because our leaving here is the restoration of us becoming, establishing our nation again. It's not going into another nation and being berated or used by them. If that's not what this is. No, we just have to, we have to know that. We have to wait on Yah. Because this is serious business right here. You know, and even the food. We don't know what them people, what them animals is eating. We don't know. We don't even know if we can eat clean over there. We don't know. Other than fruits and vegetables. So, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I'm not trying to discourage anyone from going. If this is what you feel like you need to do, do your homework first. Do your homework first.
I agree with that. The brother made a valid point, man. Go there 5 or 6 times, man. Make some friends. You understand? Because see who can fix your apartment, your house, when you get it. You understand? You need a plumber, they know where to get one. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Don't go over there and don't know nobody and expect that little bit of money and expect what you want to pay. You want to pay what you want to pay.
They see you coming. Hold on. Area code 972, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, I think people need to go with a realistic expectation. I lived in Ghana, and this was a long time ago, but I lived in Ghana, and one of the things that I found was that a lot of people, when they're here, were oppressed, but when we got there, all of a sudden, we were Americans. And I lived very well. But I also lived in fear of running out of money. And the thing is that I could actually rely on getting money through my school because I was there as a student and from my mom. And that made all the difference in the world, because there were times like when I was broke and there was nothing that I could rely on. And then you had people who were saying, we're Americans. Here, it's like, we're black and all this stuff. But then all of a sudden, they're trying to lord it over other people. And so one of the things that I did was I actually separated myself from them. And so it's true. People will see you coming. And when I lived there, there was a place called South Legon where you had all of these Americans that had kind of grouped together. And that was actually expedient, and it was necessary, because you are seen as a foreigner. You are seen as someone who's other. I looked Ghanaian, and so I could kind of hide myself because I didn't travel in a group and I spoke very little. But the thing is that it's a very different way of life. I also had a very different background. When I lived here in the States, I lived in a place that had no running water, that we had outhouses where my mom, well, I have a picture of her digging the ditches, so I knew what it was to live in a place where you didn't have all of these quote-unquote amenities. But I also knew what it was like to have them. But when you go there, you're either going to live very well or you're not going to live so well, because there really is very little middle class. So I was going to school with students who were flying to Paris to have their clothes made. So when they came, their shoes and their clothes were couture. My boyfriend was dirt poor, and so he was there on scholarship. And so I got to see the difference. So when I went to see where his family lived, there was no running water. There was no electricity. People were cooking outside. I could adapt. But I said, there's no way I could survive here, because I can't go down and get water every night and bring it back. It would break my body down real fast. And I was here in the United States, I was used to what was considered hard work, having lived where I lived. But yet I couldn't really touch those women and what they were doing there. So I was really kind of considered soft. And the thing is that there was so much to learn. The culture was so different. I mean, I would use my left hand. He says, no, don't. It was an insult. But I was used to using my right hand and my left hand. Well, you don't use your left hand because that's the hand that you use to take care of your bodily functions and do all kinds of things. So you do not offer that to someone. There were just little things. And I eventually married a Ghanaian, but one who was at the other end of the spectrum. And that was a nightmare, because he really was elitist. And so he told me one time, Americans are stupid. And that's exactly what he thought. And, you know, I was married to him because they saw us as kind of naive to a certain extent, because, you know, in order to really thrive, you have to be someone who is, you can't just kind of like coast. I mean, you're really going to have to be focused in terms of what you're going to do, and you have to know that there is not going to be like a set, like a landing pad. Now, what you do need is you need a good support system. When I went, I was the first person in my family who had ever gone to Africa, but my grandfather, who was a Garveyite, he loved it. So he actually went over with someone who lived, he went to Nigeria. He went with my uncle and my aunt and my grandma. They all flew over, first time they'd ever flown, and a couple of cousins. They went with the expectation of living there. But it turns out, he said, I can't live in Nigeria. And so, but the thing is that at least had he gone, he would have had someone, a support system to kind of integrate into. Just going there on your own is not going to work. And I can see people going there and having their own individual communities just because you know what your customs are, you know what your expectations are, you can support each other. So that's just my view.
I have no idea what happens. I'm done.
I'm just talking to myself, thinking I'm talking to the group. I am so sorry, you guys. I went through a whole shit spiel when she stopped talking. But I just wanted to tell everybody that it's been a push for us to go back to Africa, go back to Africa, go back to Africa. The Most High has placed you in a place for a specific reason, and you have to be all right with that. Now, if you say Yah said for you to go live in Ghana, I hope you're right. I really do. I hope you're right. But at the end of the day, we have to wait on Yah. Because the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of Yah. It's nowhere else. You know, some of us have health care issues, health expenses, all of those things that he has made a way of provision where we are right now today. You know, and that's not worth trading for sandy beaches and a house that's sitting on the beach. I'm not interested in that. Because I'm waiting on Yah to deliver us so that whatever issues we're dealing with health-wise, he will heal and erase that. And the thing is those people are coming here. So I just think, you know, that the best place that we can do, the best thing we can do is wait on the Most High Yah. Don't be swayed by the things that people say, because it seems like when people get on a rant about Africa, 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 everybody feels like, oh, those poor, pitiful black people. Though that's the land of Ham, and that is the land that they live in and that they're familiar with. We're not. Anybody else got a comment? Please feel free to push one. Sister Couture, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, family. You know, I understand what everybody is saying, but Yah said he would retrieve us from the four corners of the earth. Even
right.
If we were in outer space, he was going to bring us home. So a lot of us will go out and do things. You know, we'll have the urge to go different places. But as long as we understand, you know, we keep Yah and his law in our heart, we don't forsake him, he won't forsake us. And he'll come and get us and bring us home.
Hallelujah. Absolutely. That's where it is. Absolutely. And don't panic and don't be afraid. You're going to have some patience. There's going to be a period where we have to wait, but he's already worked it out. He's not working it out. It's already worked out. He just has a specific time that he's going to do it. And it takes time to even get people's minds prepared to leave. This is something that has never been done in 400 years. We've never talked about a group of people going back to the what's called the Middle East. We've never talked about that. So this is something that is coming up. It's new. It's being talked about. And Yah is getting people's mind and their mental psyche ready to make the transfer. It's just like when Moshe came to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. He came down. He came from Midian, came and told them that I spoke with the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he said, it's time for you to go. That didn't happen right away. There was a series of things that had to happen. He had to go. He got the people all excited, and they got to praising and shouting and jumping. And then once he went to Pharaoh, what happened? Pharaoh made their experience harder and harder and harder. They was making brick without straw. They wasn't getting any assistance. And these people were murmuring and complaining. And then he went back to Pharaoh again. So, I mean, when you think about the many times that Moshe went to Pharaoh, that was over a space of time. And in the midst of that, the people had to believe, and they had to be patient. When they saw them plagues and stuff hitting Egypt, and they knew that was the Most High, they had to be patient because all of those plagues had to go through before it was time for them to go. That took time. So we have to be patient. And it's hard because everybody said they're ready to go. I want out of here. I am ready to go. It's going to take time. But in the meantime, like the sister said, you got to be obedient. Practice on being obedient to Yah. And everything else will work itself out. We promise it will. It's going to work itself right on out. All right, anybody else have a comment or anything before we dismiss for the day? Please push 1. I don't want to miss anyone. I just want to, you know, to let that be known because a lot of people are talking about this whole Africa thing. Africa, Africa, Africa. But everybody's still in the United States. I know the Most High told me to go to Africa, but you're still here. And like the guy said, visit at least 10 times. So you know for a surety, I knew because such and such happened. I knew that was my cue. I knew I was, no, you better know for a surety. Because you're leaving the place.
Right, but you know they got the best promotion men out there. Everywhere you go, they telling you take the test. Find out your ancestry. Come on home. We welcome you with open arms. We got this and that to give to you. So when you've been beaten down and you lost hope, of course you're going to jump up and run because you think it's better than where you're at now till you run into one of them Chinese over there.
Real talk. Absolutely. No question about that. Absolutely. And that's the truth. So, no, thank you. I'm going to wait on y'all.
Right, because they got, what's that, Boca Raton just busting into them schools and stealing all them kids and stuff. That could be us.
Yeah. And like I said, he dropped us off here. This is where we're supposed to be. He didn't drop us in Belize. He didn't drop us in Canada. He didn't drop us in Russia. He dropped us off here in America. We were the ones who completed the 400 years, and he knows where he's going to take us when he come and get us. So, people, just be patient. Don't let anybody talk you into selling everything you have and running over there and trying to escape because you're just going from one bad situation to another, sound like to me.
Yeah, because they got Rona over there, too. They got slave masters over there, too. If they killing and abusing their own people, what you think they're going to do to you?
Okay. No.
So
no.
Him ain't never loved us. And they
Hello?
Know who we are.
Yes,
so
they just
sit like a cat up in the tree waiting for us to walk by so they could jump on us.
Well, absolutely. So stay where Yah has planted you until he decides that it's time for us to move. It ain't going to be long. It won't be long. I promise you it won't be long. But we got to wait on him because you got to remember the 10 plagues of Moshe and how long it took. From the time he walked into Egypt and walked up to the children of Israel until the time they walked out as a nation. It took time. It wasn't done in 6 months. I don't believe it was. It took time because each time he hardened Pharaoh's heart for a reason. Each time. We have to be patient and wait on Yah and continue to pray for our people and continue to help our people wake up. And do it that way. So I just want to share that with you. Sister Couture, you have anything else you want to say to the people before we dismiss?
Well, you know, like I always say, stock up on your food, your provisions. Stay strong because I believe it's going to come a time. We're not finished with Rona yet. So it's going to come a time our houses are going to be our Goshen. And what you have in your house right now, when Rona hit, is what you're going to have in your house. So if all you got is a bag of beans, that's all you're going to have when Rona hit because you're not going into any of these stores. So just think about it, family. Shalom, shalom.
Brother Donia.
Yeah, shalom, shalom, Sister Yaina. Yeah, you know, I understand. We're going through some stuff. It's heartbreaking. You know, lost hope. You understand? But the Almighty is the one that's going to give us the inspiration and show us what we need to do and bring us up out of here. And he's not going to bring us out here empty-handed. I mean, not empty-handed. Us wondering what's going to happen. We got to trust in the Almighty with all our heart and soul. And if I might add, every fiber of your being. You understand? That's our only fight. We ain't got nothing else. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, we can get up here and leave out of here and go to Africa or go to what's name to try to set up household. But, you know, I'm not going because I'm not going to be treated like no stepchild. You understand? So, you understand? We need to stop and do what we need to do. You understand? While we're here, you understand? Pray and ask the Almighty to forgive us for our sins. He, you know, that's the key. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Eric 2H, you have anything you'd like to say before we dismiss?
Did you say 228?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. Other than, like Sister Couture says, stay stocked up.
Stay
and
stocked
most
up.
Bless us. Yeah.
All right. This is the end of our show. We hope you guys have enjoyed it. We try to give information every week as to what to hold on to in the scriptures. Be faithful and diligent to Yah. Keep his word. As simple as his laws and commandments are, please keep them to the best of your ability. And we're going to continue to move forward as a nation, loving on our Elohim, being obedient to his word, and loving each other. And I think that's going to be the key to get us where we need to go. Because anytime you're feeling down and out, you know, you can reach out by email and say, hey, I just need to talk. I'm struggling here. We'll reach out to you to make sure that we can encourage each other because we have to encourage each other through this, you know, and we're going to make it to the end. We're going to get to where we're going. All praises to the Most High Yah. And I want to say shalom, shalom to everyone. I'll see you next week, and thank you guys for joining us on the show tonight. Good night, everybody. Shalom, shalom.
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 Shalom. Bye-bye.